Welcome back to this second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
Welcome back to hour number two of Leading Edge Medicine, a beautiful November day today. We invite you to call with your questions. We won't be here in the studio next week. We will have a recorded show for Thanksgiving weekend. So we want to make sure you get in today with your questions, 206-421-5757. Dale, we'll get to your question in just a moment. All right, so rapamycin seems to be something, doctors, that we hear or heard not very much about. Last year was about a year that we started hearing the term. Now we're hearing a lot more about it, but still a little confused about what it does and why it would be beneficial. And what it doesn't do. Yes, rapamycin.
I get that question every day.
Yes, yeah. It seems like really that's a lot of folks want to know, what is it and can I take it, please?
Yeah, I put a little post on a rapamycin discussion group this past week, and I was flooded with people who wanted to know more.
What's a rapamycin discussion group?
It's an internet group. Basically, it's a chat room for people that are using rapamycin.
Okay.
And there's an awful lot of non-physicians self-experimenting.
Oh, dear.
With rapamycin. they talk their doctor into writing them a prescription.
Really?
Yeah. And but these people know nothing about what they're taking.
Mm.
And so...
Scary.
Yeah, it is. It is kind of scary. rapamycin is a medication. It was discovered in soil on the island of Rapa Nui.
Easter Island.
Yeah, wow, okay.
Also known as Easter Island, but Rapa Nui is why they called it rapamycin.
Okay.
Because it's an antibiotic. It actually kills bacteria, viruses, and fungi, which made it really rather remarkable. Something that inactivates viruses, kills funguses, and bacteria. Somewhere along the way with playing with this drug, they kind of noticed some fascinating things, and that is the animals that they were treating with it to find out if it was safe to use for people, lived longer.
Ooh.
And they acted younger.
That's a nice side effect.
Yeah. laboratory mice live an average of about 25 months. And when a 20-month rabbit laboratory mice was given rapamycin, they extended their lifespan about 15%.
Mm.
So, you know, they lived about an extra 3 to 4 months. Well, that would be like giving it to a 70-year-old man and finding out that instead of dying at 80, they made it to 96.
Mm.
So... it was kind of remarkable. They also found that these mice, because the older mice that had pretty much given up reproductive activity, they were no longer trying to have sex with the younger female mice, started being frisky again, and their coats improved, and their bones got better, and they were, as they started experimenting, they found they were also able to run mazes and so on, so the better brain function, better memory. So they said, my goodness, what's going on? We thought this was an antibiotic, but it's turning out, at least in mice, to act almost like an anti-aging drug.
Mm.
So they tried it on other animals. So it's now been given to dogs and monkeys and civet cats.
Wow.
And every animal that's been tried on, it extended their lifespan, but more important, it improved their health span. They got stronger, faster, happier, more sexually active, better brain function. We now know that in the dog studies, in just 10 or 12 weeks, you actually improve their cardiac function. Their heart is pumping blood more efficiently. So a lot of people have started saying, hey, I want this. Yeah. So there are now tens of thousands of people around the world taking rapamycin as a, quote, anti-aging drug. Well, the problem with that is we don't really have any studies to show that human beings are going to live longer with it. They get better markers. They tend to feel better. They get a lower risk of cancer. Almost all cancers occur far less frequently in people that are taking rapamycin. Mm. It improves their immune response. It helps kill senescent cells. It helps to rescue stem cells so that your stem cells function better longer. And we think that's part of why all these other beneficial effects are happening, is you're getting every stem cell in your body is getting rejuvenated to some degree. So, fascinating drug. Really, really interesting. The question is, how much should you take and how often should you take it? In the animal studies, a single course of therapy, sometimes only a month or two, worked as well as giving it to them constantly. So whatever it's doing, it would do it in a fairly short period of time. And as we're looking at it, we find out that what it's really doing in a lot of ways is it's altering the DNA and the way that your DNA is packaged in that double helix. Mm. The helix gets tighter and more stable. So you don't change the genome except that the shape of the helix gets tighter wound and becomes more stable and doesn't become as prone to breakage and substitutions, which is really kind of neat, right down to a genetic level. It also changes the way the microbiome in your gut functions and changes the bugs that grow in your gut. So it is one of those things that, you know, we're quite interested in.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, when we use a new drug, we know what we want to do with it. We want to lower blood pressure or lower cholesterol or improve kidney function or whatever, kill a cancer cell. And we use it in whatever high dose we need to do that job. And then we look at how many side effects we get from that dose. And that's how we decide if the drug is safe to use or not. How effective is it at what we're trying to do? And how many adverse effects and how serious are the adverse effects?
Mm-hmm.
Rapamycin is the only drug I know we're actually using it in very low doses because we don't want to get any side effects.
Ah.
The major negative side effects that we've seen so far is it tends to raise cholesterol and it tends to raise blood sugar a bit. But folks are now using metformin to lower those.
Okay.
So now we're seeing rapamycin metformin combinations. Mm-hmm. So it's an interesting drug. We don't really know how much of it we should take. We know that in the animals, the higher the dose we use, the longer they lived.
Mm.
But we don't know at what point the sweet spot is, and if you keep raising the dose, will something bad start to happen?
Oh, okay.
So
There you go, rapamycin.
Yeah.
And is it something that if listeners are listening right now, they're going to, you know, come to longevity and ask for it? You can talk to your doctors, but if they go to their medical doctor,
they go to their standard doctor,
their standard
he's
primary
not likely
doctor
to give it to them.
Yeah. Okay.
Because the doctor probably doesn't know much
doesn't
about
know
it.
Doesn't know much about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, wanted to address that a bit today.
Yeah. So, yes, at Longevity Medical Clinic, we use it in a fair number of people.
Mm-hmm.
And I use it. Mm-hmm. And my wife uses it.
Yes. We were talking about that a year ago.
Yeah.
And now we're talking and we have callers that have called in to say, hey, tell me more.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So we did. All right, let's go to the phones. We have Andy on the line. Hi there, Andy. It looks like he is driving on I-5.
Oh, hello, Andy.
Welcome to the show, Andy.
Don't let us distract you.
Thank you. So I called in. My grandfather died in his 60s of prostate cancer. My dad died of prostate cancer. I have BPH. Take tamsulosin for that. My doctor is uninterested in PSA, doesn't do rectals. He basically says, at my last visit, said, you know what, every guy gets, you know, issues like this, and, you know, if you live long enough, you'll die of prostate cancer. That's like, that's not very satisfying as a patient. I'd like to know, how would I know early on? My father's was caught very late.
Yeah.
And it was caught by a PSA going from single digit to over 300 in the span of 1 year. How do I know?
You don't.
How old was your dad when he died?
My dad was just short of 80, but he was diagnosed at 60-something. He went through, I don't know, he went through accelerated proton radiation. He went through, I don't know how many surgeries, chemo.
Yeah. All right.
Well, how do you catch it early?
And how old are you?
63.
Okay.
We do PSAs on all of our men, and we do them several times a year. If we see you three times a year or four times a year, we do your PSA three or four times a year. Because if it starts rising, we want to catch it early and figure out why it's rising. Now, a rising PSA doesn't necessarily mean cancer. There's a lot of other things that can cause a rising PSA. But if we see a PSA starting to go up, we're looking for a reason. Okay. And if we're going to find a cancer, I want to find it very early. There are some things that you can do that we know that lower the risk of prostate cancer. Okay. For instance, tadalafil, a drug that is usually used for erectile disorders. We put patients on it every day. In fact, I've got a lot of men and women on tadalafil. It lowers the risk of prostate cancer by 50%.
Is that Cialis?
Yes, that's Cialis. And so I would have someone like you on 5 to 10 milligrams of Cialis or the generic tadalafil just because it's cheaper.
And it'll help with the BPH too.
Right. It'll help you to pee better, and it cuts your risk of prostate cancer in half. So I think that's the first thing to do. You hear the music, we got to take a break.
Yep, stay right there, Andy.
Sit tight, we'll be back.
Yes, we'll continue that conversation with Andy. We've also have Mark calling in for a question and Dale. All coming up on Leading Edge Medicine. Stay right there, we'll be back. It's Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Samiri Umat and Dr. Jerry Mixon. My name is Lynette, and good morning. Thank you for joining us. Talking with Andy as he's driving about prostate cancer and issues.
Yeah, so I don't understand why people don't do PSAs. I mean, it'll give you warning and let you start looking for a reason if you see it rising.
Well, it might have something to do with the fact that the USA Task Force stated that. They didn't want us to do them. And then they found that the incidence of metastatic and extensive prostate cancer went up.
Yeah, they stopped doing them several years ago. But then, as a result, men started dying of prostate cancers they could have cured earlier. And so most doctors are still doing PSAs until you're about 75. Mm-hmm. Now, at 75, the, quote, cost-effective calculation says you're probably going to die of something else even if you have a prostate cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And so most doctors now quit doing them at 75. I'll do them as long as you're breathing.
Yeah. But,
and as I said, Cialis or tadalafil cuts your risk in half, so I'd be on that every day. Your favorite beverage should become green tea.
Mm-hmm.
Green tea contains a compound, epigallocatechin and gallate, that kills prostate cancer cells.
Mm-hmm.
And a safe dose is about 5 cups a day of green tea. Now, most people, most Americans don't like tea that much, so they don't drink 5 cups. But I tell them, it doesn't matter whether you drink it or eat it.
Mm.
You just want to get that chemical in your bloodstream. And so what you do is you take a tea bag and you tear it open and you dump the contents of a green tea bag into your casserole or into your salad. Your body doesn't know that you didn't steep it in water and then drink it. And so you just add some little crunchies to your salad or to your green beans or to whatever it is you're eating. And, hell, I've put it on lasagna before.
Wow. So, I love that tip. I think you've mentioned that before.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so...
So is there any value other than the PSA? Is there any value in a digital?
No.
No.
Now, digitals we gave up on because PSA will pick it up years before the digital. The digital was for when we used to find these great, big, ugly prostate cancers that had been there for 10 years.
Yeah, very few of them are doing digitals anymore because the MRI technology is far superior.
Yeah. Well, and the PSA will start to rise long before you get a big enough tumor to feel it with your finger.
Yeah, and every physician is different. Yes, pomegranate,
yes. Anything that's very rich in polyphenols. But pomegranates and juice, but if you eat the pomegranate, go right ahead and eat the seeds too.
Yeah.
It adds great fiber to your gut. Mm. Green tea, pomegranate, tadalafil.
Resveratrol.
Yeah, resveratrol helps too. Resveratrol is kind of a thing to fix almost whatever ails you. The neurologists use it for dementia. Cardiologists use it for your microcirculation and your arteries. We use it because it helps to protect stem cells from senescence. And it decreases the rate at which you make senescent cells throughout your body. So I like resveratrol. And resveratrol also maintains cerebral blood flow. Saw a study showing that women in their 50s who used resveratrol for a year maintained the blood flow to their brain much better than those who did not get resveratrol.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So those are my immediate...
Rapamycin,
yeah. Yeah. That's a tougher one. He's going to have more trouble getting that. He can get the others pretty cheap.
Sure he can, yeah.
But rapamycin has been shown to lower the risk of virtually every solid tumor out there. Skin cancers, lung cancer, ovarian cancer, prostate cancer, breast cancer. Rapamycin is again starting to look almost like a cure-all sort of compound.
Interesting.
Yeah, but you don't want to just take it. You want somebody who has knowledge and experience in
and
it because it is dose-dependent and a lot of other variables. So you want to be monitored.
So, but all the things I've mentioned, we do for our people at Longevity Medical Clinic routinely.
And he mentioned BPH and boron, saw palmetto, DIM. There's so many other things
we can do to shrink
that overwhelm
prostate.
People with the options that are available. And sometimes it's a matter of, okay, am I really going to be able to do all this or not?
Yeah.
So pick one or two that
so
you
we
think.
Pick a few.
Yeah. Pick the ones that are most likely to give you a bang for your buck. Cialis would, I think, be a no-brainer for me.
Yep.
That makes a lot of sense. And then other than that, whatever supplements you like, just start using them.
Cialis, rapamycin, metformin, resveratrol.
I'm on Tamsulosin, and I think it's now overwhelmed a little bit. And he had talked about doubling the dose or going with Cialis.
Yeah, I do the Cialis. The Tamsulosin does not lower the risk of prostate cancer, and the Cialis does.
Mm. Okay. Good to know. Hey, I appreciate your help.
You're welcome, sir.
All right.
All right. Drive safe.
Thank you for calling,
Andy. It is about 11:24. We're going to head to Camino Island right now, where we have Mark standing by. Hi, Mark. Thank you for waiting.
Hello, Mark.
Yeah, no problem. Very interesting topics.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as I'm concerned, Andy, get your PSA done. I had to switch doctors at 65, and the new doctors wanted to check my PSA history, and I didn't even know what a PSA was until I took it. And then, of course, I found it, and it was really bad. And then, you know, prostatectomy a year and a half ago, and I'm still cancer-free. Yes, that's an amazing thing.
Wow.
So, but yeah.
No, thank you for sharing that. You know, we've picked up high PSAs on people who didn't know they had them from just the health analysis visit.
Yeah.
And then they'll be surprised. Well, I didn't know. Nobody ever told me that. And, you know, you should know these things in this day and age.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I preach it like, you know, to my kids and everything else. Just have it done. It's just a blood test. You're getting a blood test anyway, and you know, just get it done. So
yeah, adds 30 bucks to the cost. I mean, come on.
There you go.
Yeah, I stated a year and a half ago, I was, it's been a year and a half cancer-free from prostate until 4 weeks ago today when you were talking earlier about kidneys. 4 weeks ago today, found a shocker, blood in the urine, just about like, what is this kind of thing? And it happened again an hour later and ended up going into emergency and having to test. Bottom line, kidney cancer diagnosis 4 weeks ago. So, and the mass was massive. It was three times the size of the other kidney. And, you know, fast forward to today, about 2 months before this, I had my annual physical and there was no signs of anything. I've always been in really, really good health. So what are the symptoms of getting kidney cancer? Cause I heard a little bit about it, but this just happened and it was just like, wow.
Yeah,
isn't there something out there in a blood test that they could test other than
actually, yes, there is a blood test that we do. Most people don't do.
They don't know about.
That's right. It's what we do is a Galleri screening test, and the Galleri test screens for 50 different cancers. Okay.
Oh wow.
Now it's not covered by insurance, and it's a little on the pricey side. It's about $1,100, $1,200, I guess. It works out about $25 per cancer.
When it was $1,250, we've lowered it now to $1,100.
But generally, it is $1,250, and yeah, we're giving a special on it right now. But it checks 50 different cancers, and so we offer it to, you know, to our patients and anybody who really wants it. So most of the time, kidney cancer doesn't have symptoms until it gets quite nasty, and that's the problem. Bleeding, you know, blood in the urine is kind of a classic sign that you may have a kidney cancer, or just unexplained flank pain, pain in the side and back that doesn't have a good reason for it. But of course, as people age, they get back pain anyway.
Sure.
And so most people ignore it. They say, oh, yeah, I got a little achy, and so what? I'm just, you know, I'm 60. Mm-hmm. And they keep moving.
Mm-hmm.
So there are some of these tests you don't know unless you look. And that's why I'm a big, big fan of the Galleri test.
I tell you, that should be mandatory. And I don't understand why healthcare companies don't pay for something like that, because I don't know if it helps with pancreatic cancer, but I mean, that's something that everybody
gets.
When you get it, well, there you go. I mean, everybody, I lost my very best friend to pancreatic cancer, and it was stage 4 when he found out he had it. So
yeah. Well, this is a new test. It's only been out a couple of years, and they are working, you know, with insurance companies, and they're trying to get Medicare to cover it. But thus far, no insurance company covers it. When Medicare covers it, everybody else will. So they're pushing for Medicare right now. But at the moment, you know, I wouldn't wait. I go do my Galleri test and screen for 50 cancers in one blood test. I mean, why not?
Yeah. I know. And many physicians don't know about it. Many clinics will not offer it, but we do offer it. So, you know.
Well, you know, the name of the show is Leading Edge Medicine and Longevity Medical Clinic. You know, we do a lot of cutting edge, leading edge medicine. So
awesome. Well, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot. I guess it was a surprise to me. It's a surprise to everybody then. I thought it was just me.
No, it's not just you, my friend. You got caught, and a whole lot of other people do. So, but don't go away. I got to take a break, but I want to ask you a question or two, and then I'll let you go. So sit tight.
Okay, so stay right there, Mark. We'll be back with more Leading Edge Medicine in just a moment. Stay right there.
Against the wind. We were running against the wind. We were young and strong. We were running against the wind.
Welcome back. It's Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Samira Umat and Dr. Jerry Mixon. Hi there. My name is Lynette. We're glad you joined us. You just had another couple of questions for Mark from Camino Island. Yeah.
So I had to comment about the running against the wind.
Mm-hmm.
I love running against the wind, don't you? The wind in your face and the bugs in your teeth. Yeah, it's just great. Okay. So, you had blood in your urine, you went in, you got seen, they found a large renal mass. That was how long ago?
4 weeks ago today.
And what are they doing about it?
Well, actually, after two trips to emergency for getting plugged up, clotting, et cetera, and several tests, et cetera, we've got scheduled the 29th surgery to have the kidney removed.
Okay.
Yep. And so we're at that stage now. I've got a upper CAT scan tomorrow. I've got a biopsy they're going to do on the 26th, and then the 29th is surgery.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, so that's a good start. Have they done a workup looking for Mets, I hope? I mean, they're looking for to see if it's still local or if it has spread?
Yep, the MRI results were this week, and they were very encouraging. And they admit that it's in the capsule. It stayed in there.
Okay.
Everything around it, where it could have gone, there was nodes on the liver and lung, and all. They all turned out to be benign. So I think I really dodged a bullet because it's all enclosed. Now, they did mention that they might have to, well, they're doing a biopsy on the 20th. Sixth, I guess it is, to make sure that it's not originating in the ureter.
Yes. Ureter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it gone from there. But you know, he's 95% sure that it's the cancer that's kidney where it started, not the renal.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
All right. So this is all good news. You know, survival statistics, if it's still a primary tumor without Mets, very, very good, you know, in the 90-some percent for 5 years. Yep. So that's encouraging.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. But once more, you know, this is a argument for people who think they are healthy and have no problems to you know, come and let us do something like the Galleri test and screen for 50 different cancers, for goodness sakes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't want to wait till you get a tumor that's really big or, heaven forbid, has already spread places and given you symptoms. And an awful lot of cancers in their early stages have no symptoms. And so the people feel just fine, and they are in the early stages of dying and don't know it. Mm. So, you know, this is why we offer a Galleri test.
Mm. Well, I'll tell you what, I would encourage any guy over the age of 60 to have a Galleri test, because that's something I always thought that they should have, somebody should have, because, I mean, I'm healthy. I'm, you know, active, and, you know, I kayak, and I ride my bicycle thousands of miles a year, and I'm 68. And I, you know, how do you know something like that's not hanging around the corner? I went from having fun with my grandkids to just like, what in the world? Because I feel good, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, let's hope they get that critter out of there, that it has not spread anywhere, and that you continue to feel very good and enjoy the grandkids. And then in a decade or two, the great grandkids.
That's right, Mark.
That's right.
Yeah.
Like I said, I'm like I said, I'm active. I'm on the chain gang for a high school football team for the past 45 years. So I got to get to the game, and hopefully we'll have a victory here. But I like to stay active, and I'm going to continue on.
Good for you.
There okay. you go. Thank you so much,
Sounds
Mark.
Good.
Best. All
right.
Best.
Take care. Yeah. Bye-bye. Yeah.
All right. We are going to head to SeaTac right now. We're going to continue talking about prostate. Eric has a question for us. Hi there, Eric.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So I've got a urologist that wants to do a reading, this transrectal ultrasound of the prostate with prostate biopsy. Mm-hmm. And he wants me to go off my Eliquis for 7 days to do that. Mm-hmm. And I'm a little concerned about that.
Why are you on the Eliquis?
AFib.
Okay. And are you actively in AFib, or is this something that you're using prophylactically?
More prophylactically than anything else, I guess. I'm a Dr. Maiden is my cardiologist.
Okay.
He said... He won't give me an exact opinion on the surgery. Go back to your doctor and talk to him if you're concerned. My point is, my younger brother went off his Eliquis about a year ago and had a stroke 4 days later and died.
Ooh. Yeah, and that is of concern.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is why I ask if you are actively in atrial fib or if it's prophylactic.
It comes and goes, but it's the AFib.
Okay. Why do they want to do a biopsy on your prostate?
Well, I had one a couple of years ago, and it was marginal results, and he thought we should do it again with the, take the samples out, and then eventually get to the lab, and then they score all the samples, right? That kind of thing. And they said, well, you might not be on the edge.
What was
your
Gleason?
What other options are there?
There are options. Excuse me? What was your Gleason?
I don't have it in front of me right now. Yeah.
Okay. Well, the 4K test.
The 4K test is a test of four different kinases that give us a statistical probability of your prostate cancer and how aggressive that cancer is likely to be.
Yeah, that's a blood test. Mm-hmm. Medicare does cover it. So if you didn't
that'd
want to do a biopsy.
Thing. Yeah, but take that first and see what the results are and then decide after that, maybe.
Yeah.
And also the MRI scan without the biopsy.
Right. Yeah, we do. We send a lot of people for MRIs, and if they see a lesion, because they can see on the MRI a lesion as small as about 2 millimeters. If they see a lesion, then biopsy it. And if you don't see a lesion and your PSA is stable, you relax.
Right. Okay. So it was called a 4K test?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. I hadn't heard that before. Well, thank you. That sounds more attractive to me.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of random biopsies, just poking holes in the prostate to be poking holes in hopes that you might or might not find something.
Mm.
That's way down my list of things to have done to my prostate.
Right. And many urologists are now on board with this. Some will still do a random biopsy with a scope, but the vast majority are switching to doing an MRI reading first and then looking to see where should the biopsy actually come from if it is needed. But I definitely do the 4K test. Yeah, do the 4K. It's a blood test. It'll give you a predictive value. Have them do the MRI scan first, and then you can think about whether you need a biopsy or not.
I wanted to thank you guys for – you had Dr. Maiden on it years ago, 4 or 5 years ago. I heard the two of you talk, and then I called him up. He'd just canceled a vacation, so I got in on it, there, and he's a great guy and a heck of a – doctor.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he is. Well, we had him on here a couple, two or three months ago, too.
Yeah. Summer, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you.
Okay,
right.
Okay,
well,
thank you.
Okay,
Eric,
bye-bye.
Thank you so much for that call. And we are going to talk to another Eric in just a moment. Eric from Port Orchard, taking a quick break, and then we'll be back with more Leading Edge Medicine. Stay right there.
Don't tell my heart. Just don't think you'd understand.
And if you tell my heart, my achy, breaky heart,
yeah,
he might blow up and kill this man.
Welcome back. It's Leading Edge Medicine. My name is Lynette, and I am here with Dr. Samira Umat and Dr. Jerry Mixon, taking your calls all morning about all sorts of things, a lot of different conversations today. Looks like we have another one on the way from Port Orchard. Eric, welcome to the show. How can we help you?
Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I'm wondering about, like, head injuries and inflammation, and I've heard about resveratrol, and what about taking it for that?
Well, I would, but I take it every day anyway.
So, right.
You know.
And then how much would the milligrams be?
Well, depends on what you're trying to accomplish, but I hit it pretty hard myself. We make a 350 milligram capsule, and I take two in the morning and one at night. So,
okay.
Well, so let's talk a little bit about this head injury. Why resveratrol? Why not hormone replacement therapy?
Well, that's a good question. Too, yeah.
Okay. Well, let's chat about it. First of all, the anabolic hormones, these are hormones that by definition allow you to grow lean tissue. Okay. And the two primary anabolic hormones are testosterone and dehydroepiandrosterone. DHEA and testosterone. Those two hormones actually increase the number of stem cells throughout our body. It's one of the reasons that testosterone makes you grow new muscle and skin and bone and tendon and ligament. And it kicks your bone marrow into high gear and you actually make more red blood cells. So the anabolic hormones, people think of them just as a muscle hormone.
Mm-hmm.
But they're a total body hormone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they actually increase stem cells all over your body, which are the cells that allow you to heal and grow and repair everything, everywhere.
Right.
So,
you know, Mark Gordon has written extensively about this. In fact, he treats only head injuries, mm-hmm. and he uses his population is, you know, vets coming back from the wars, younger guys who have not head injuries but deplete their hormone levels, and he starts treating them with secretropin, which he came up with, which mm-hmm. helps them make their own hormones.
Sure.
But if you can't, and if you're older, then replacing hormones can help with neurocognitive function.
Mm-hmm.
People don't realize that testosterone has receptors in the brain for memory, for function, and therefore it is a very important hormone to replace, which is depleted in head injury. Every patient who's had a head injury will deplete all these downstream hormones.
Yes, they will.
And that affects function. Lots of different function, ability to build muscle, ability to think, self-confidence, cholesterol metabolism, cardiovascular risk factors, bone health, and speech. So when you're wanting to replace all of these functions, if you go back to the functional medicine approach, which is replace what's missing, you're going to get a better outcome.
But what's going to be missing is your pregnenolone alone,
yes.
Progesterone,
so
testosterone,
exactly.
Estradiol, progesterone.
Exactly.
And
so it's not just testosterone alone. So when you give secretropin, it basically helps maybe make all the downstream hormones.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we do use it, but we also replace the hormones that we can get up because our population is a little bit older.
Yes.
Right.
I suspect our caller is older than 22. So.
right, exactly.
So
is this done at your clinic or is it?
Yes,
yeah, we do it all the time. It's it's kind of our bread and butter. Yeah.
You know, and also you mentioned pregnenolone, but it's also thyroid, right? Once you've had a head injury, who knows what kind of hormonal production is compromised?
Yeah.
It's all stemming from up there. And so if nobody's ever tested it or looked at it, then you want somebody to look at it. What is the interaction with glucose and insulin? What is your cortisol production? All of these things are very important. And yes, resveratrol may help, but it's not addressing the root cause of your problem.
Nope. Yeah, so you know, we use a lot of resveratrol, we use a lot of supplements, but the basis is, first, get your youthful hormone load back to where it used to be.
Yeah.
Because as those levels drop with age, we decline with age.
Yeah.
And so one of the most basic things you can do is to measure all eight hormones.
Yeah.
And get all eight of them back up to where they were when you were younger and more vigorous. And most people will find that just that first intervention will make an enormous difference in how they look and feel and function.
Now, how about this? How about this is a cancer survivor to throw into that? Because I've heard if you add hormones that for females that they might increase that cancer to come back.
Actually, that's outdated. The fear was that estrogen might be causing the breast cancer. But what we now know is that estrogen is protective against getting breast cancer. Now, once you got a breast cancer, you've got a tumor that produces its own growth factors, and stopping estrogen is usually beneficial. But if you give estrogen to women whose hormone levels are declining, you lower the risk of breast cancer. You lower the risk of heart disease. You lower the risk of colon cancer. You lower the risk of strokes. You lower the risk of osteoporosis. So giving women back their youthful hormone levels is incredibly protective against a lot of cancers and the most common diseases that cause death in women. So I guess that's where we are with that one.
Yeah.
I mean, and again, remember, estrogen is not just a hormone. Estrogen is a complex of hormones. And in a woman who has had breast cancer, we can use other things. We can use testosterone, for example. It'll help in her healing and also may prevent recurrence.
And we can use estrone.
Estriol,
which actually slows the growth of most breast cancers.
Right.
So there's things we can do.
And we check estrogen metabolism and so on and so forth. So depending upon what the story is, we customize the program.
Yep. Does that answer your question? I think he went away.
All right, I think
okay.
So.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Eric.
So Eric's gone, but I want to maybe leave everybody with Jerry. You don't know this story, but
okay.
His story just reminded me of this incident. It happened very recently in the office, and I was walking by. A lady was having her blood draw, and I don't know why. I just decided to stop in. I didn't know her. I don't know whose patient she is. I don't know her name. I don't know how long she's been in our clinic. And I just stopped, and I sat down and I just started to talk to her, and I said, everything going okay? Are you having a good day? She said, yeah, all good. I said, well, thank you for being a longevity patient. And she looked at me and she said, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for longevity.
Wow.
Oh.
Stopped me in my tracks. I was sitting down and I think it just stopped me. And I was like, oh, wow. I didn't ask her more. I just wished her all the best and I left. But her statement stayed with me. Her comment was, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for longevity.
Wow.
Well,
and we've heard that a lot from patients.
The good news is, yes, we have saved an enormous number of lives mm-hmm. for people that were sliding downhill.
Yeah.
We had a lady in the last show 2 hours ago.
Oh,
who is in process of dying a sarcopenic death. She's just fading away, down to 130 pounds and bleeding and cardiac dysrhythmias and mm-hmm. all kinds of terrible issues. And we're going to do what we can to turn that around, because this is a woman, as she told us her story, we're sitting here looking at each other saying,
wow,
this woman is dying.
Mm-hmm. 130 pounds at almost 5'10",
yeah.
which is huge. I mean, that's
yes.
way too thin.
Yeah, but she's got no tissue left. She's not able to grow tissue anymore because, and I'm betting that when we do her testing, we find all of her hormones are right on the floor, mm-hmm. and she just has not got any growth factors left. And what we have to try and do is turn that around and kick her tissues back into high gear and give her the ability to grow new tissue again so that she doesn't just finish fading away and dying on us.
Absolutely. So. We want you to come in. We want to see where you are and what your body has, well, what life's done to your body so far, as Dr. Mixon says. And the way to do that is to come in and just take those two tests, the blood test and the in-body test. That will give the doctor some information to let you know, hey, let's do a bigger blood panel and find out everything going on for you. You're looking at hormone levels, thyroid levels, all sorts of things, and you're going to get information, 70 pages of information, not just a little 5-minute synopsis from your primary doctor, to find out what is happening. That will let the doctor know and evaluate if you are at risk for things like sexual dysfunction, dementia, cancers, heart disease, diabetes, Alzheimer's, joint degeneration, and so much more. We care about you, and the staff at Longevity wants to see you succeed and live the healthiest, longest life that you can. So make that appointment. You've got 3 different locations to pick from: Linwood, Kirkland, and Tacoma. And you can pick the day and the time that works best for you by going online to look at the schedule. Click on the button that says free health analysis appointment. That's lmclinic.com. That's where you go. And you'll get lots of information there about the staff, what we do, how we do that. And that's where you can look at the calendar and pick the day that works best for you. Now, if you'd rather talk to a person, we can do that as well by having you call us at 866-86-YOUNG. And you can do that right now. 1-866-86-YOUNG. That is for Longevity Medical Clinics. Okay. Just about 1 minute left of the show today, and we'll all be recorded next week.
Yep.
We won't be in the studio taking phone calls.
We're going to be with our families enjoying the Thanksgiving holiday.
The whole weekend. But a great show planned for you. Don't not tune in. You just can't call in. We'll have a recorded show, some new information from both doctors. We'll find out what Dr. Mixon is thankful for this year, and some great phone calls from this past year as well. And then we'll be back live in the studio 2 weeks from today. We invite you to join us then. Happy Thanksgiving week. You have a great week and a great weekend, and we'll be back with you next time on Leading Edge Medicine. Thank you for listening.